Campus FM presents The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers. Welcome to The Probe with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Matthew Caruana from ZAR.com.mt, which is a crowdfunding platform based here at the University of Malta. So firstly, tell us a bit about crowdfunding.
Yes, basically crowdfunding is an alternative way of raising funds, where a campaign which is trying to fund a project, an initiative or research, and you ask the general public for small contributions. So rather than going through one fund, one bank, or one funding source, and having a large sum of money coming from one source, you have a bigger number of contributors giving you small contributions, small donations that will enable you to complete your idea, your project.
Okay, so what sort of projects happen on ZAR.com.mt?
We allow all sorts of projects, to be honest. Our only requirement is obviously that the idea has to be legal and ethical. But after some due diligence processes and feasibility checks, the campaign can go live on ZAR.com.mt. And we focus on different aspects. In fact, in the coming weeks, I hope, we'll also be launching what we're calling sub-brands of ZAR, where one of them would be related to the topic today. It will be ZAR Research, for us to enable academics, students, researchers to fund their research projects.
So how will that work? Is it in the same manner? You have a lot of people helping?
Yes, it works. The similar concept applies to all types of projects. The platform at the moment is what we call a donation-based or a reward-based. So you're asking money, you're asking people to give you money, for you to complete your idea or start off your idea, and in return you're either giving them a reward, which typically is a non-financial reward. We can go through some examples later on. Or else you ask for a donation, where the return is simply a social return, that people are participating in a project that they believe in and they would like to see it happen.
And so for the research aspect, that's more. So some of the research that happens here obviously is everything from aerospace to breast cancer to, you know, wine. So what sorts of ways will this work with research projects?
Yes, when it comes to crowdfunding, you're obviously dealing with the general public. So not all projects carry the same appeal to the public. So if we were to give some examples, research dealing with medical research tends to be or tends to appeal more to the general public than something, say, about the space or something which is sort of far off from the public. Having said that, it doesn't mean that those campaigns won't work either. It all depends on the campaign you do, the effort you put into it, and as we said, also the rewards. So in case of research, yes, some of it might be just donation-based. However, you can create rewards for you to be able to offer these to the public. For example, you could name your donors, your contributors in your research, in your paper or any publication as acknowledgements. You could also offer time where you can give talks to them. You can organize field visits or lab visits, and people who are interested can come see you at work, feel part of the project as well. And then obviously there are the obvious rewards where we've seen examples where people give t-shirts, mugs, but these would be more of token, a gesture of gratitude that they made your project go through.
As we were talking actually a couple of weeks ago to Mark Anthony Atsapardi, who has these pocket satellites, which are these sort of not nano satellites, they're 5 centimetres squared, and they go up into space for the, you know, measly sum essentially of €25,000. So you could be somebody, this could be a campaign where you, they wanted to raise the money to actually launch one of their satellites. They would run a campaign on ZAR, something like that?
Yes. When it comes to doing a campaign on ZAR or any crowdfunding platform, I mentioned the rewards. They're obviously a big part of whether people get a sort of appeal, whether you manage to appeal to the public through the rewards, because they get something in return. However, that's not all that you need. You need to engage people, and this is one way researchers now are using through crowdfunding to get closer to the community, to get to expose their work, to market their work as well, because it could lead to other opportunities where you have other collaborators. Contributions from other experts in the field that could help you refine your ideas.
Okay.
And the general public, if they're given the whole picture, they're given the facts, they're given the exciting parts of it, they could feel part of the story, part of this adventure that you're going on and carrying out research, and hopefully be part of also a solution that you're offering as a result of your research.
So what's involved with a campaign? How do you start?
I would recommend someone who's interested in starting a campaign or even exploring this option to contact us. We're based at the university, at the Takeoff, the business incubator as well, next to the Knowledge Transfer Office, if people are more familiar with that. We obviously listen to them, we understand what the project is, what the idea is, and we can guide them through the whole process. Basically, in terms of a process, it's simply filling in a form. The process itself is easy. It's the rest that requires effort. Because obviously putting a campaign online, you're fundraising using the power of the internet and social media. So you need to explain your work, involve as many people as possible. The larger the crowd, the more funds you can attract. Be passionate about your project, communicate the details, give rewards, share updates about your project during the campaign. So there's a number of things you need to think about and sort of spend time planning out for your campaign.
So I've seen some things in the local media, and you often see on Facebook as well some sort of links back to campaigns and things. What types of campaigns are running at the moment?
Okay, so we've since we started in January, we had a number of campaigns that they range tremendously from people who are launching CDs, launching DVDs, or theatre productions. So that's more on the cultural and arts sector. Then we had philanthropic campaigns for charity, different initiatives. We also had a couple of startups that actually they were also related to research. For example, in one particular case, we had a startup that they want to now further their research by building a prototype. And this their aim is to convert animal waste into clean water and fertilizers.
Okay.
So this campaign was successful. It was completed recently. And these are, that's an example of how research can be funded through crowdfunding as well.
And so from there, obviously, they've gained a different exposure, like you said, and potentially attracted the attention of people who could help commercialize or would want to purchase.
Yes, because as part of the crowd, apart from the general public, you also have other experts that are following your campaign. You have corporates that might be interested in actually purchasing, in this case, potentially farms. They could purchase this prototype or help them, give them a real situation where they can try out this prototype, or even pre-sales for these things. So even in terms of research, if your research ultimately results in a product or results in something that something tangible that you can give that could also be one of your rewards.
And so when you've got these students doing their research programs, they might have more than one need to fund, because you might need, like say, to do a prototype, but then you'll get to another stage to commercialize.
Yes, when it comes to crowdfunding, you can do more than one campaign. So our suggestion is always to start low with a small campaign, which is manageable, also because this is a relatively new thing in research. So smaller projects tend to be more successful, especially in the early stage where not a lot of funds are required as such, but it's a good starting point. We see crowdfunding as being a complementary to other sources of funding, an alternative way that you can generate that additional funds or another round of funds for the next stage of your project. And you can have various campaigns for each stage as well as you go along.
Just thinking, as we're coming up to Christmas, is this something that I could buy my partner a piece of this, a piece of funding essentially to help the satellite go up into space? Is there the ability to be able to buy crowdfunding as a present, essentially, or to
yes,
help a
yes.
project?
Technically,
as a
it all depends on what the reward is, what rewards the person doing the campaign is offering. But yes, if it's something that you can purchase, or naming, or I don't know, plant a tree on giving the name of the receiver of this gift, being an acknowledgement, being them being part of a story or part of a project that they will be very keen on being part of.
It'd be great for the Secret Santas, where you have to spend sort of 10 or 15 euros, but actually
yes.
you could be doing a bit of good rather than just buying a piece of rubbish
cases. Yes, it's a good idea, and especially if the person, if you manage to find a campaign that the person would be interested in, would be happy to say yes thanks to this excuse or thanks to a gift, I am now part of this project.
I think it's quite a good idea, actually. I think I'm going to have a look at your site before I panic and run around the shops trying to find presents.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you. So what else can you tell us about funding and the crowdfunding phenomena essentially that's happening now? What advice can you give people that are potentially planning to do crowdfunding campaigns?
Yes, I think crowdfunding started in other fields, not in research. However, the research area is taking this on board as part of the exercise or this paradigm shift of actually opening up. We've seen universities setting up around the world, setting up their own crowdfunding platform, as it's not just about the money. It's technically the only funding method that apart from raising funds and money, you're actually also getting other benefits. The marketing aspect of it, the exposure, the potential engagement that you can engage the audience, the public, on as part of the project, in various ways, not just giving money, but they can participate in through various ways. So this paradigm shift in research that sort of opened up more to collaboration, to communicating results, to sharing of information, shifted on to crowdfunding as well, and it's making use of both worlds, so the research and the funding opportunities, where people are making people aware of what goes on at universities, where is the money being spent on when there are government or public funds being spent on research, and also since public funds are getting tighter and tighter when it comes to research, it's also an alternative way of getting the public involved. And the public can actually choose which research to fund. So rather than paying taxes and the government or some board of experts or advisors accept projects to be funded, this is giving the power sort of to the community, to people, to actually decide where and what projects, what research should be funded. So and that's why we said it should be used as a complementer to other sources of funding, because obviously there is research going on which might not appeal to the public, but it's still very useful and very important. So there needs to be a good combination of institutional and public funds, governmental funds, as well as hopefully crowdfunding.
And could a company who, you know, every year they donate to a particular charity, is this something they would be able to pass as their CSR type budget spend?
Yes, certainly, and we've seen that happening already. So when we refer to the crowd, it doesn't mean simply mean individuals out of personal interest. When you're going out to the crowd, you're targeting everyone, corporates, organizations, NGOs, individuals, so anyone who has interest in seeing your project go through, or who's really engaged in your project through your message, through your campaign, they can contribute and help your funding. So we've seen companies donating to cultural things, to research, to medical research more specifically. So these things can happen through the crowdfunding mechanism, because part of the project, part of the campaign, is to actually expose it to as many people as possible, and you can capture the attention of these people.
So do you as Czar help academics? Because I know people who come up with an idea, the sort of entrepreneurial types, are probably more prone to being able to deal with social media and marketing, etc. But, you know, academics are generally focused on their project. So do you help them actually humanize it and make it understandable? Because some of the stuff can be quite highbrow that goes on. Obviously, it's a university research. So do you help them get it out there? And
yes, part of our service is that we offer advice and help, guidance when it comes to the campaign. What do you need to do? What works? What doesn't work? We also give help in terms of media contacts, media and advertising, drafting of the campaign. So we do help a lot when it comes to the campaigns. It all depends, however, on the individual of being available and accepting this help, taking things on board, and at the end of the day, it's still the individual, the team behind the campaign, who actually need to transmit this passion and communicate the project, because people actually buy in your message, your story, your passion when they're actually deciding of whether to part with their money or not.
So do they? There's obviously a sort of a website page, images of your product or potentially the prototype you're trying to build. Is there videos and things like that? What does the campaign consist of?
Okay, so the campaign would typically consist of having your own web page as part of our website, where in this page you're explaining your what we refer to as the pitch. So you explain your story, your project, you explain who you are and why you have the sort of, why do you feel you have the credentials to carry this on, because you need to communicate the details about your project as much as possible and give confidence to the people to that they can trust you. You know what you're doing and you will deliver on what you're saying. The money is going to be used for what you're saying, rather than being fraudulent. So that's the pitch. Ideally, you have, and I really stress that you have a video, a very short video, 1 minute or two, where you're actually replicating the pitch in a very short and passionate message. As most people, as we know, online, browsing social media and internet on their phones, they're more likely to click on a play sign rather than read a whole bunch of text. So the message, the video is very important. And then there's the rewards that you need to think about and giving them a value. And when we're talking about rewards, we mean setting up different pricing levels. So, for example, if you contribute €5, you get this. If you contribute €10, you get another thing.
So, if you, for example, if you were talking about that in terms of a theatre production, maybe for the €10, you get, you know, a ticket. for if you put 30 euros, you might get a ticket with an autograph or type
Yes, yes, or you meet the actors or a photo with the actors, for example. So you can be very creative in creating these rewards, and you can give them different, what we call pricing levels. So for different contributions, you're giving a different reward. Last thing you need to think about is actually the promotion that you're doing, where you're going, who you're going to speak to about this campaign, because obviously you need to promote this campaign. And finally, the funding target. What is the sum of money that you wish to achieve and to attract?
Is there a limit on ZAR for research or for any other campaign?
There's no research. Each campaign is basically evaluated in its own right. It all depends on whether it's feasible, whether it's realistic, and whether you can deliver what you're promising.
And obviously these campaigns have a deadline, so it's not something that you have a year to be able to raise the funds.
No, we would recommend that the campaigns should be about 30 to 40 days long, not very long, because longer campaign doesn't mean more money. People are either engaged when they see the message, when they get exposed to the idea, or they don't. It's good to have some updates throughout these 30 days, so you can remind people just in case they missed it or they were busy at the time. But prolonging it too long actually removes the sense of urgency, removes the engagement factor when you're dealing with a crowd.
And what other tips would you give people planning potentially in this new year to put their campaigns through ZAR?
I think it all depends. The main important thing is to do proper planning. It's a fundraising activity. You're using the tools that we are providing you to do this fundraising, to carry out this fundraising activity. You need to plan out what's happening during the campaign, before the campaign. Think about the video. What message do you want to give out? It's important, as I said, is to involve as many people as possible. So set out a team, perhaps, for individuals where you can get help in setting this up. Communicate and don't be overambitious. Don't ask for the moon if you don't need the moon. Just ask for what you need. Start with the minimum, with basics, and then build up potentially through either other rounds. And people do not stop contributing once the campaign reached its target. The target is there to show people what you need and what you're trying to achieve. It's not a limit that if you reach that target, then the campaign stops. So the more, the better in this case, because obviously every project has unexpected expenses. You can always do things bigger and better, so we don't limit the funds either.
And obviously ZAR is based in Malta, but it doesn't limit people donating from just Malta?
No. We're focusing on Maltese initiatives to go on the platform. However, when it comes to the audience, we don't limit it to the Maltese. In fact, we had campaigns that received contributions from Australia, US, UK, Germany. So we also do encourage that you can use this platform to internationalize your project. So if you know that your field or your area of expertise, there's a particular network, there's a particular community which is very engaged and very interested in this topic, then go there. Use the power of internet and social media to get to them, to bring this message to them and attract contributions from that community.
And I'm sure once you've, like I said, you're getting this international exposure to promote that even further, even in those countries, not to just go to our local papers to say how well your campaign's doing.
Yeah, I mean,
if you go to those countries as well, you're expanding and expanding and exposing, especially in the term, you know, research. You're exposing that research to...
Yes, and especially since the people who benefit from your research everyone can benefit from your research. So it's important that you do export this campaign and make the crowd as big as possible. the term crowdfunding is a relatively sort of the combination, joining the two words together, crowdfunding into one word, is a relatively new term since, let's say, 2012. However, fundraising had existed since ever. Like one famous person who did a crowdfunding campaign in the olden times was actually Mozart. And his first his first campaign actually failed. He had to do two rounds to actually achieve it. And his reward was that they will be mentioned on the manuscript of what he created as part of that campaign. Another famous one that everyone mentions is the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. When they were given the Statue of Liberty, they said, "Yes, fantastic, we have this statue, but we don't have where to put it." So they issued a call on the newspapers saying, if you contribute $1, you get this. If you contribute $5, you get this.
Okay.
So fundraising is an old thing. Has been with us. The church is a very key player when it comes to fundraising, building churches and arts from funds raised from the public. But the term fundraising is now a new term.
Because
it uses the power of internet and social media, which is worldwide. So yes,
so, is it easy? So, you know, if my mum wanted to donate something, she's not very internet savvy. Is it easy for her to be able to donate? Is it a couple of clicks, or is it?
Yes, I think it's relatively easy. It's like whenever you're buying something or paying a bill online or purchasing a product, is quite similar. The same, it's the same process. You register, which is a quick form where you just put in your name, surname, and email address, and then you're passed on to the payment method of your choice. So it could be a credit card. You could use PayPal.
Fantastic.
And we're also introducing bank transfers.
Excellent. So it's, I think, something everybody should be jumping onto for Christmas presents. So. That's czar.com.mt. That's been Matthew Caruana and myself, Monique Chambers, on this week's edition of The Prove. Thank you.
You have just listened to The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers.